Delancey Street.
That's right, yeah.
Why did you decide to name it Delancey Street? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, there is a song on the record called Delancey Street, so that was a little nudge, but that's always a starting point for me, title-wise, but not always. But it's really kind of a metaphor for, you know, just gentrification of a neighborhood or of a relationship, actually. You know, just that sense that you may have, you know, moved beyond a particular situation and you don't even have the perspective to see it until you get a little distance. And I recently moved from the same neighborhood, from the same personal space that I'd been in 13 plus years.
Oh, wow.
And it was a big move for me. And I only moved, you know, about 15 blocks away to the Lower East Side, which happens to be where Delancey Street is. But it felt like just, you know, the most impactful thing I ever did for myself, to just leave the place behind where I had been so long and get into a new energy, a new space. So, plus I got rid of a lot of stuff.
That's probably the best part of moving, is getting rid of stuff.
It is. It's stuff that you're attached to for such bizarre reasons, and they all come up for air.
Fifth grade report cards and things like that.
Well, I hated fifth grade, so there was not a fifth grade, but some other grades, yeah.
So the new CD is called Delancey Street, and this is your ninth album?
It is, yes.
Wow.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, but...
Does that bother you?
It's half of Chai. I don't know if you speak any Hebrew.
I don't. Teach
since
me
this,
some.
This is a university. I'm here to educate myself and remind myself that it's a good way to clear your throat, too. So if you try... It's half of Chai. Chai means life in Hebrew. It's the 18th letter and number.
Oh, wow.
So that's like, you know, when you go see Fiddler on the Roof...
Mm-hmm.
Two lives, lechayim. Yeah, that's all you're going to get from me today. I haven't had my coffee yet.
It's still early. And you just came in from, where did you guys come from?
That is a fine question. Where the heck did we just come from?
Were you in Indianapolis?
We were in Indianapolis. Okay. And before that, we were in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just
it helps remember if they had good pizza. And we had a fantastic meal yesterday too, so I don't know why that wasn't a quicker reply.
Well, something that I really found interesting about you was, you know, I was reading about you and you tour constantly, which I
try to. I feel like I've been a little lazy this year because I've been, you know, home more than I ever have been to facilitate that move we were just discussing a while ago. For those of you who are joining us fresh. I just moved. I no longer live at One Astor Place, so you just go stalk someone else there.
You don't know what you're going to get, though. But I read today that you tour anywhere from 150 to 200 dates a year. Is that true?
Typically, I do. So far this year, we're a little behind that number, but that's why we're asking you for help. If you'd like to have me perform in your kitchen, living room, or attic, or perhaps your basement, but only if there's a window, please call the station now.
So is touring, I would assume, is your favorite part of it?
I absolutely love it. I love the lifestyle. I love, you know, sauntering into a place like this and meeting you and having this time together. Perhaps we'll email when all this is over.
This will be great.
We'll go shopping.
Absolutely.
You can't see, but she's wearing the most, you know, wonderful purple Prince and the Revolution t-shirt.
It's my favorite t-shirt.
Well, I can tell because it's just... You know, it's sparkling.
All of my favorite t-shirts are band t-shirts.
So, really?
This is number one. I have a Michael Jackson one, too.
Wow.
Where he's a little boy.
Is it bedazzled?
No, but it should be.
It probably should
this
be at this point.
This one definitely should be.
Yeah.
Prince.
Oh, that could use some purple Swarovski, for sure.
If you hadn't been here the whole time, we would still be towing that borderless line. And I don't know. Cause I don't know if you were really mine. But all the time that you were running, I was clearing my own mind.
It is great to be here. And, you know, I noticed that you have the Food Network playing right in front of you. In case I'm not delicious enough conversation, you just look on that screen.
I always have it on. And what's stupid is every Saturday when I come here, I hardly ever eat anything before I get here.
Do you cook?
I do. Not as well as they do on that show. Do you cook?
No, ma'am.
You probably don't have time.
Well, that's a likely excuse, but I'm just not very good at it.
You can use it.
I like finger foods.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Mermaids?
I did.
Yeah, where Cher, she's big on the finger foods, like things with toothpicks.
Yeah.
And, you know, her little girls aren't so thrilled about that. But
So let's talk a little bit about Delancey Street. Now, is...
Yes, focus. Don't let me distract you.
It's the glasses are.
Is that what
cool
it is?
Too.
Should I take them off?
No, it's great.
But I can't put the extra makeup on with the glasses because I am so blind.
Oh, I am too.
I can't see myself well enough to know where the heck to put the glitter. It ends up on my nose.
It's bad.
It's a conundrum.
Bad. How long have you worn?
Thank goodness we don't pride ourselves on our appearance. You know, it's just.
Thank goodness we're not vain.
That's right.
How long have you worn glasses? I'm just curious.
Since I was maybe. 10.
I have you beat. I think I was 6.
Yeah, I might be lying. I know. I really don't remember.
I might be lying too. I lie a lot.
But I remember. It's called, it's in Yiddish, it's not called lying. White lie is a boobymeister. Isn't that such an erotic word?
Boobymeister?
Boobymeister.
That doesn't sound bad.
I know. It's a boobymeister. What's the big deal?
You are a self-taught musician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something else I thought was really interesting about you, because usually when people say they're a self-taught musician and talking to many different musicians over the years, it's always, well, I grew up playing, you know, the songs that my parents listened to
I hated the songs that my parents listened to. They listened to schlock. They listened to Sesame Street Fever they wanted me to listen to, but I wasn't having it. I said, give me the real thing. What is this? A joke? I'm 3. I can handle it. What's not wholesome about John Travolta? I don't understand.
I bet you really did talk like that when you
were
three.
I really did, yes. It was very prodigious. I came out of the womb talking like this. They were very worried.
So if you didn't teach yourself playing the songs that maybe you heard, were you playing your own stuff?
I was. It was just the sounds in my head, you know. I couldn't really relate to the world around me, so I retreated into that space where I don't know what's wrong with me. It really is the lack of caffeine.
That's okay.
But it, you know, I speak some truth, and it's about the essence, right?
Right.
I was a little ballerina girl, so I would say self-taught is a little bit of an exaggeration, perhaps, because you know someone's always teaching you something. And you might not look at it that way, but all those ballet teachers who were making me pretzel myself into various uncomfortable positions, they were picking beautiful music for me to do it to, you know, on that vinyl record player they had when we didn't have an accompanist. And then later on, when I advanced to the more serious ballet program, there was always some amazing pianist, you know, just selecting the repertoire, and I was hearing all these wonderful composers, and I had no idea what the heck I was listening to, but I would go home and start playing it by ear. And if I hadn't been in ballet, you know, who knows, I might exclusively be playing the hits from my Hebrew school education. Thank goodness they made me do dance.
Well, when did you start writing songs?
I started writing instrumental music almost immediately.
Really?
When I hit the piano, like with one hand, and you know, then maybe one finger with the other hand, playing you know, sort of a hybrid between Billy Joel that I heard at the sleepaway camp and hits from Hebrew school and Gershwin that I was hearing, you know, in dance class, and it was just sort of a fusion of whatever struck me as particularly melodic and, you know, just interesting enough to capture my attention. So
well, the Delancey Street's your 9th album, so you obviously have a lot to say. You have a lot to say. Do you write? I guess you would have to write when you're on the road.
I write in a journal. I write a lot of lyrics, and usually when I'm writing lyrics in a journal, I hear melody as I'm writing. There's sort of a rhythmic, melodic song mode I go into in my head, and I don't really need an instrument around to do that. And then when I'm back home at a keyboard, you know, not having to check out of the hotel, and then in half an hour or less, I hunker down and work out all the arrangements and everything. So, yeah.
Okay.
I could be writing a song right now, but...
Really?
but I'm not. But it could be. I'm so, I need to be more productive.
You're doing fine. Okay. You're doing fine. Rachel Sage, she's live in studio with me. Thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, this was so much fun.